Hello, my name is Brian McKenna. I'm one of the editors at Computer Weekly, and I'm here to bid you a very warm welcome indeed to the Computer Weekly
Downtime Upload
podcast. Did I get that right?
Yeah, you did.
Great. You could have warned me.
Are those two other voices?
Nailed it.
I'm Claire McDonald. I'm the business editor at Computer Weekly.
And I'm Ryan Priest. I'm senior sub-editor at Computer Weekly.
And Ryan's also our lead satirist on Computer Weekly. I'm pleased to say I've been sprung from the submarine in which I was interred on the last podcast.
Yeah.
Very muffled. Sad to report we don't have Caroline this week.
No.
But she will be back.
Yes.
In this week's podcast, we're going to be talking about retail with Claire, who's just back from Madrid.
Yeah, very exciting. It was super hot over there.
Did you bring any presents back for the team?
I didn't. I thought about it, but not too hard.
Not even any sweets?
I didn't bring any sweets back.
Mm. I don't. It's a bit selfish.
Yeah, I am selfish like that.
Mm. I really like those little sort of boiled sweets you get from Spain as well.
So oh, yeah.
If you're back there soon, please.
I'll keep that in mind.
Thank you.
I did see some sangria that was wearing a hat.
Fantastic.
I was tempted by that, but I didn't get that.
But you didn't?
No.
Mm.
What a wasted trip.
And Ryan is back by popular demand. This is your second time on the podcast.
Yeah, good to be back. Feel more relaxed today.
I'm going to talk a little bit more about Huawei, the never-ending Huawei story.
Yeah.
Which, Ryan, you're going to touch on a little bit. But let's begin with Claire just back from Madrid without any presents.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry, not sorry. So I went to Madrid for an event. It's called Sijid Connections, and Sijid, I've heard it pronounced all of the ways and I can't get any clarification on how it's actually meant to be pronounced, but Sijid Connections is based on an event for a retail software company, so developing systems for the back end, most popularly point of sale. So a lot of retailers, they're looking at their next in-store ventures. As I've said before, a lot of retailers are doing a lot to try and enhance their in-store experience, make it a little bit more interesting, attract customers who are otherwise online. So the streamlining stuff like point of sale is one of the things that a lot of retailers are trying to do. And they do other stuff as well. So they have sort of like a back-end cataloging system, endless aisle type stuff, so that people on the shop floor can use iPads or other tablets to look at the entirety of their back end. If a customer comes into a store and says, I want one of these, but you don't seem to have it in the color that I want, or you don't have the size that I want, they can have a look at their entire back end and then order it for that customer to be delivered to their house.
That's pretty cool.
Stuff like that. So,
Rather than saying we just don't have that, or I'll have to go into the back room and have a rummage.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that was pretty cool. Just talking to a couple of retailers about.
So tell us who you were talking to.
So we met, me and the other journalists met with three retailers, one of them being Paul Smith, who is a British tailor specialising in women and men's smart fashions. We also met Gant, who they do a lot of different types of fashion, but they're most known for their shirts, their men's shirts. That's their specialism, and that's what they tend to focus on. And we also met with Wittard of Chelsea.
So coffee, tea.
Tea, coffee, hot chocolate stores, yeah.
Cool.
And I especially liked that because I used to be a massive fan of their white hot chocolate. Yeah, it was good. It was, I haven't written them up yet, but a lot of really good chats and a lot of insight into how retailers are, you know, like trying to shift the way things are on their shop floor.
Mm, it's not a supplier I've heard of.
Sajid?
Yeah.
So apparently they have quite a lot of retailers, and the ones that they do have are quite focused on sort of their international remit.
Yeah.
Because Sajid operates in quite a lot of different countries. A lot of the retailers who do use it were saying that it's good for when you have like a different country that has tax, you know, like specific rules around tax or receipt layouts and stuff like that. I didn't really understand it because that's not something that I've really come across before, but they were saying that it's really handy in countries like the US and Italy where taxing is different than it would be in the UK, and it's sort of built into the system for that to be dealt with.
Mm. And there's another story that captured your attention this week.
Yeah, so this kind of tied into some of the things that I've heard at Sajid Connections. But yeah, so Stella McCartney and Google Cloud, they've partnered to start a machine learning and fashion-focused sustainability project. And sustainability is something that in the retail and fashion worlds has been, you know, like a massive topic recently. So this was at the Copenhagen Fashion Summit that this was announced. And the whole topic that particular event was based on was sustainability-led retailing.
And this was a story Caroline did, because it came through her cloud beat.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I was thinking, if anything, we have to discuss cloud this week, we're going to be stuffed because Caroline's not here.
Yeah, Caroline obviously knows a lot more about the technologies that they're using. So apparently it's Google Cloud's machine learning and data analytics platform that's being used to look at fashion industry supply chains and then figure out where there could be efficiencies made that might save on, you know, like carbon footprint or other things that I didn't look into that deeply.
And it's super important.
Yeah.
But I didn't notice before how important or how large, sorry, the carbon emission problem is in the fashion industry.
Yeah.
Like, I was looking through like the statistics and I think it's about 10% of, was it water? Like wastewater or something?
Yeah. So wastewater from the production of clothing accounts for 10% of carbon emissions.
That was a stunning statistic.
Yeah.
For some reason I thought that would be, fashion industry would be tiny compared to other industries, but it shows how huge it is.
I think that a lot of it is accounted for in the growing of things like cotton for the fabric.
Right.
Because you have, you know, like massive farms that will be, you know, like water irrigation systems. Don't quote me on that. I haven't looked into it, but that's the first thing that comes to mind for me in terms of like what would be.
I think that's right.
Yeah, using the water.
Yeah.
But it's been a massive topic for a lot of retailers. I mean, like, the National Retail Federation Big Show in New York in January, there was a lot of stuff discussed about retail sustainability, what can be done to make sure that there's less waste and fewer carbon emissions. And supermarkets have been focusing on it. Waste food, packaging, our oceans are full of plastic. What can we do about it?
I don't think it's covered in this story, but there is the exploitation of cheap labour.
Yeah, that's a huge thing as well.
On and on and on,
They also burn all of their dead stock, don't they, like these big brands?
There's been
a lot of stories where they just like had millions of pounds worth of old clothes burnt.
Burberry was a big one for that.
Burberry.
A lot of their old stock. Mm. I think the part of the reason was that so that people couldn't get hold of the types of fashion that they were bringing out so that they could replicate it and stuff.
Yeah, and they just, they were too proud to just have it all in TK Maxx. Yeah.
They didn't want to,
which is a shame.
Yeah, they didn't want it in bargain stores, so they just burnt it.
I got my Burberry trench from a vintage shop.
Did you?
Close to here.
I
did have
vintage.
Mm.
I think that's a growing area as well.
Yeah, 100 quid.
Really?
Yeah, whereas
you
think,
spent 100 quid on a coat.
Well, I think an original would be more like a grand.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know.
Although I'm not sure about that.
I haven't bought any new clothes for a long time.
Well, you are a retail editor.
Yeah, I know. I should probably go shopping more often. If I had a budget for it,
We need to talk to our editor-in-chief about getting you a budget.
Yeah, a little shopping budget.
Just for shopping. Just get sent free stuff, surely. That's what most influencers get now.
Influencers.
This is what we're
going
to talk about later. We need to
become
influencers. Get you kitted out in Burberry. Look like Daniela Westbrook in no time.
But Google Cloud have partnered up with Stella McCartney.
Yeah.
In this.
Yeah.
Mm, activity.
Yeah. So I think that might set a precedent for partnerships, because this isn't just, as far as I'm aware, this isn't just to make Stella McCartney's supply chain more sustainable. It's for the industry more widely, and I think that that's really important. Partnerships. You can't just do it on your own. This is something that needs to be addressed by everyone.
She has a massive brand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And famous mum as well, of course. Great sausages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, on the theme of fashion,
mm-hmm.
always à la mode is Mr. Ryan Priest. And Ryan, you bear news of bust-ups in the world of beauty vlogging this week.
Yeah.
This is the downtime in this week's e-zine issue.
Yeah, this week I was struggling to find anything that funny going on in the tech world. But I did see a headline on BBC News about James Charles, who I have heard of before, but mm-hmm. I've never really looked further into what he does, or who he is. But he's this huge, rich celebrity now. He's a beauty vlogger. And so this week I've been delving into the world of beauty vlogging for the first time. And it's as sort of trite and inane as you would imagine. And it actually made me feel a bit less beautiful for watching it. But in this case, James Charles has lost about 3 million followers or something like that.
3 million?
Yeah, it might be more subscribers or whatever they call them on YouTube.
Why did this catastrophe happen?
So I then became determined to find out what was actually going on, because the BBC News article didn't really explain it very well. So I had to watch about an hour's worth of footage of this former friend of his called Tati Westbrook. She basically is an older beauty vlogger who basically gave him all of the connections that he needed to become this huge celebrity, and he's since stabbed her in the back by promoting a lip gloss or something like that. No, I think it was a vitamin
competitor's
vitamin or something
business,
like that.
Yeah.
So it was all very unstimulating, but I now am fully clued up. You ask me any question about that and I'll know about it.
But didn't this happen a week ago?
It happened about a week ago now, but the fallout is still just sort of carrying on. And they'll release video after video now, like, scrutinising it. And I've got to try not to get further into that world by watching them all.
I need to move away from it. Don't get sucked in.
Yeah, you don't want to fall in an internet black hole.
The interesting angle, I thought, was how openly all these influencers talk about clout, which is something I've not really heard that kind of lingo used so openly before. Whereas before, I feel like people have always wanted a lot of followers. Mm. No matter who you are, it's nice to sort of feel loved. But now people are so openly talking about followers in terms of clout, which means if you've got more followers, you have more power, more chance of getting lucrative deals and more money. And it's just all become really vulgar now, I think.
Goodness.
So that's that.
Well, in one person who I think has gained a lot of clout over the last year or so, who also follows red carpet fashion and might tie into the sustainability argument, is Tom Lenk. So he used to be in Buffy, and he has a massive social media following because he recreates red carpet looks with like stuff that he finds in his house.
Okay.
And then he posts sort of like a who wore it best on his Instagram, the actual person on the red carpet, and then him in his garden wearing a bin bag that's got like some tinsel around it. He's really cool.
Well, I was going to say, what does he have in his house? Because he might just have a lot of interesting things, but if it's just bin bags, anyone can do that.
Yeah, you could do it. Feel beautiful again, Ryan.
I'm too busy watching YouTube videos, though.
But I think that's, you know, like, just a little bit of joy in amongst all of this, you know, like, mundane stuff, as you were saying.
It is all really mundane. I don't know who finds it that interesting, but it seems like they feed
some
off of each other's drama.
I mean, that's phenomenal.
It's kind of addictive.
Yeah.
But Tati Westbrook has now gained about 3 or 4 million subscribers. So it's an amazing move by her. Like, if you're being cynical about it, I'm sure she's devastated to lose her 19-year-old friend. But
and did the word cancel come up in all of this?
I think it must have somewhere along the line. But that's maybe this was just a call out, which is like sort of halfway to a cancellation. But he has apologised, so I don't know where that leaves him. But I'm sure he'll be fine.
You think?
I reckon so.
Think he'll be all right.
How many followers was he left with after the 3 million left?
That's a good question.
I don't actually have the numbers, but I think, a guess, it's just literally a guess, about 15 million.
Okay, yeah, I think he's going to be fine.
We could look that up and check at some point, but I'm sure the listeners know.
Speaking of vulgarity, one of the downtimes that you did recently, Ryan, rather enjoyed, death of a fireplace salesman.
Yeah, that was about Gavin Williams.
Yes.
And his sacking by Theresa May.
Mm.
That I know we're going to talk more about Huawei today. I can never say the word.
Huawei.
Huawei. Yeah.
Huawei.
Huawei. Okay. I'm just going to avoid saying Huawei. But yeah, he was leaking the meetings, wasn't
Gavin
he?
Gavin Williamson. Yeah.
Yeah. And I found it amusing that
allegedly. I did like your title, Death of a Fireplace Salesman.
Yeah, because he used to be a fireplace executive, which even that I think he found controversial.
Yeah, he got into hot water, didn't he?
Mm. Which isn't how it works, being a fireplace salesman, usually. But yeah, I think there was some infidelity there.
Allegedly.
He used lawyer.
God, you're a nightmare.
I'm going to get cancelled for this podcast. That'd be terrible.
But the Arthur Miller plea, death of a salesman.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if I've seen that one, but the main character is quite delusional.
Yeah, I studied that play.
There's a lot of parallels.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I look very deeply into the puns I make for these things.
You can tell the quality.
And I'm thinking one day there'll be sort of GCSE lessons where kids are analysing these downtimes instead of like John Donne poems.
Yeah.
It's going to be Rhyme Priest downtimes.
That's what we should do. We should cancel the Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner and get in a little book of Rhyme Priest downtimes. That would serve people well at GCSE, I think.
Either that or I'm going to become a beauty vlogger. I'm not sure yet.
Well, who knows? Maybe Gavin will be our new Prime Minister. After all.
It wouldn't surprise me. There's nothing that these people seem to do that permanently cancels them.
He was certainly very gaffe prone. Yeah. And I did want to know, as I said in a previous podcast, what's happened to Kronos, the tarantula?
I don't know. Probably just killed it. I don't think they have many scruples with these things.
Question.
Allegedly.
But the leaking was all to do with the National Security Council meeting where Huawei was discussed.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently there was a decision, although that's not been confirmed, that Huawei will be allowed to do some stuff around the 5G networks of the future to do with they can do antennae and other peripheral things, which I don't really understand, but not the core, which I don't really understand either. But the Americans don't want Huawei anywhere near our 5G networks in the future.
Surely you can sneak spying equipment into anything. Is the type of paranoia that would come from Trump.
Yes, indeed. And that's the big story this week in terms of Huawei was this executive order from the president of the US banning what they're calling adversary technology from the US's telecoms network. So they don't mention Huawei as such. I suppose Huawei could turn around and say, well, we're not an adversary. But I don't think that'll go very far.
Mm.
So it is quite a capacious definition, because they can call anyone an adversary. So it's not just Huawei, it could be old Chinese equipment chased from US IT networks. Claire, is unimpressed by this?
The US just needs to get in the sea this week. All of the decisions that they're making are based on paranoia and ignorance.
Is that it?
Full stop.
That's certainly a point of view. It was quite interesting that the story that I did this week, I just happened to listen to the Today programme interview with a couple of kind of former bigwigs in the US and UK security establishments,
mm-hmm.
Who are kind of having a bit of a disagreement about this.
Mm.
There clearly is a US versus UK antagonism here,
mm-hmm.
Because mm-hmm. we've had Huawei equipment in British telecoms networks for a very long time. We have this, as we discussed in the podcast a couple of weeks ago, we've got this cybersecurity evaluation centre in Banbury where Huawei equipment is rigorously tested, and that's overseen by GCHQ.
Mm-hmm.
All the guys who work there are employed by Huawei, but they've all been security cleared by not just GCHQ, but I understand MI6 and MI5 as well.
Yeah.
Etc. So it does seem like the UK has been managing the risk around their equipment. And if Theresa May is okay with Huawei, you'd have to think.
Do you think it might just be Donald Trump doesn't want to have to say the word?
Maybe that.
That's why they want.
There are a number of words that he finds difficult, aren't there?
And that would just be a new level.
Yeah. It could be that. Could be that. But of course it's America's trade war against China is the fundamental thing.
Well, that's probably a footnote, but I think you just can't pronounce Huawei.
I mean, that the whole thing of China being an adversary is a hard one to get away from, because if you take that position, then things logically follow from that, perhaps.
Yeah, you can't deny that they are in a position to become a major superpower. Just through sheer numbers.
Yeah, what is it? 1.2 billion people.
It's an incredible number of people. Yeah.
And is that, I'm guessing, one of the biggest companies now in China?
Probably.
It is. It's a big, important company. It makes over $100 billion a year now. So it's one of the elite IT companies in terms of global revenue.
Mm-hmm.
One sort of semi-surprising thing I took back from my recent trip to Huawei's headquarters in Shenzhen is like how it's seen in China. It's seen as like the John Lewis partnership is seen here. Partly because of the ownership structure, it's employee-owned, allegedly, although there are kind of critiques of that. But also just because of the prestige of the brand in terms of the mobile phones, because they do make some very nice mobile phones.
Yeah, that's all I really knew of them until recently, the phones.
And they are flying off the shelf.
I just think they're not going to really crack the global market until they change their name, because that is just too difficult
to say.
You are really hard on this.
If you look at GIF, they had to change their name to SIF, and now they're flying.
But
so you think they would do even better than $100 billion a year, if only?
Yeah. That's nothing.
Did you know Snickers bars used to be called marathons?
Yes.
In fact, I
bought marathons.
I don't remember.
It's probably before you were born.
I remember Starburst being opal fruit. Opal fruits.
So someone's going to have this conversation one day about Huawei.
Yeah. Do you remember when China phone
think
used to
of all
be
all the puns.
China phone.
China phone.
That's perfect.
Think of all the puns that Huawei has enabled.
Go on.
Like Away the Lads, or...
Oh, that's a good one.
Many, I'm sure. And that's
we can edit more in.
We can edit more in. We could also register the point that the other Brian made on the previous podcast, that they had, and that was the only thing that people were kind of aware of, was they had a very funny name, and, you know, they might be a bit dodgy because they're Chinese, but suddenly they become the most famous IT company and British political discourse. You cannot switch on the TV, switch on the radio without some story about Huawei entering our lives.
It does seem that
stealing our data.
I think that part of the US's problem with companies like Huawei is that they're happy for China to be cheaply manufacturing stuff that they can sell on behalf of their own companies. They're not that keen on having an actual company born and bred in China that actually is making some of the software innovations. They can't they can't get their head around it.
That is a super point, because that's the Chinese economy is now evolving.
Mm.
It is the workshop of the world, and it's been a kind of massive pool of cheap labour.
Mm-hmm.
Apple phones are made in China. Lots of things, everything really is made in China, more mm-hmm. or less.
Yeah.
But they are moving up, and they're, I mean, I wouldn't be able to, who knows how great their routers and switches and antennae and so on are, but apparently they are pretty good.
Yeah.
I bet they're great.
And they're cheaper. It's a bit like the old Japanese thing with mm. Toyota. Good quality car, a reasonable price. That seems to be their proposition, which I guess is why we've had so much. One of the reasons why we've had Huawei equipment in the UK for so long is it's good stuff at a reasonable cost. And America might get left behind.
And
that's what they're worried about.
Yeah, they can't see that happening, so... They're making sweeping...
So they are playing hardball, to yeah. use an American metaphor. Certainly, Trump was doing this week. And yeah, we shall see. I mean, this story will just run and run and run. I wanted to close out with just touching on a couple of other stories that have been in mainstream media news this week. The first is the WhatsApp, the spyware. Have we all updated our... WhatsApps?
Yeah.
I'm not sure I did it correctly, and I just got distracted by all the other apps that I've not downloaded recently, and I've just ended up with the new Facebook logo, which I think looks like a mistake. It's brighter, and it looks like it's aligned incorrectly.
I've heard other people say that.
Oh, yeah, good. Observational comedy on the Downtime podcast.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
But
Downtime in action.
The WhatsApp one, yeah. I don't know if I have got the latest update, but no one should be too interested in me.
So. I did the update as soon as I saw the story, just because it's something that I've been taught since childhood. Keep everything updated. You don't want them security flaws sneaking in.
Since childhood?
Yeah, my dad was like really hot on tech when I was a kid.
That is impressive.
And he still is really hot on tech.
Yeah, he still is, yeah.
What I was going to say was, so... How does this work, Claire? Tell us all about this.
So I was watching BBC World News out in Spain because it was one of the only channels that was in English. My Spanish is not that hot. And the story came up, and as far as I can understand it, if someone has your phone number and manages to make a connection through a WhatsApp call...
So you don't have to answer the phone?
No, you don't have to answer it. Even if you don't pick it up,
this
it can
terrifying.
Drop a little nugget of spyware in your phone.
Oh, God.
I don't know how you would know if it was doing that. I don't know if it's maybe like a keylogger. I don't know if it's some kind of mirroring. I don't know how it's terrifying.
And this software, which is called, I believe, Pegasus, is... it's real keys to the kingdom stuff.
Mm.
Massive invasion of privacy there. And then the other story that's been in the mainstream news quite a bit this week was the National Crime Agency calling for a lot more money.
Mm.
The National Crime Agency calling for a lot more money to tackle cybercrime.
Yeah, I mean...
A lot more.
Not a surprise, really, is it? You know, these things move on so quickly. And... You can make a lot of money out of being a cyber criminal if you've got all of the time in the world to just sit there and hack away at stuff. Eventually, you can crack anything, make loads of money, slide
out. Do you
think
that's what it is?
Yeah.
Okay.
And new vulnerabilities are introduced almost as often as new technologies are, you know. So it's not a surprise that it can't be kept up with.
So they're asking for the thick end of 3 billion quid. And they estimate that there's almost, I mean, this is rough, but about £40 billion pounds worth of economic damage is done by serious and organised crime to the UK every year. I do wonder, though, I mean, how much of a percentage of that is cyber and how much of it is about all the other forms of crime that organised criminals do, like guns and
Drugs.
Mm-hmm. Mainly drugs.
Mostly
drugs. Do you have a view on this, Ryan? Any
drugs.
Thoughts on organised crime?
None.
No thoughts.
I can't think of anything to add there, no.
What about their jackets?
They've got lovely jackets, yeah. I'd love to wear one of their jackets.
I'd love to wear one of those jackets.
What jacket?
NCA.
Oh, I thought you meant the cyber criminals. I was like, how do you know what jackets the cyber criminals are wearing? Yeah.
No, the National Crime Agency jackets.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. You say NCA on the back. Like the FBI in America.
Oh, I want one of them now. I've never seen one.
I think you, me, and Caroline Donnelly would look pretty cool.
Do you think we should get jackets?
We should.
CW, downtime upload jackets, like the Pink Ladies.
We can investigate a range of possibilities, I'm sure. So what's happening next week?
So, as far as I'm aware, next week we have the original Podcast Power Trio back in action.
We do.
Me, you and Caroline.
Indeed we do.
I'll be watching from the window.
Yeah, you'll be looking in from outside.
And in the great big bad world, we've got elections to the European Parliament, so we might talk about Brexit again. We haven't done that for couple of months, I think.
I went to an event where there was a Brexit klaxon and it went off every time someone on the panel mentioned Brexit 3 times.
Did Brexit come up at your Madrid conference?
It did, but, well, not as part of the conference, but every single person who wasn't from the UK was asking about my opinion on Brexit.
And is this foreigners laughing at us? Because I've had that on European trips.
Well, actually, one of the French guys that I spoke to said that he thinks that a lot of other countries will just see how we do and then follow on and learn from our mistakes or successes.
And I guess conference season winding down a bit?
Yeah, I'm at a conference next week called Future Stores, where I'll be learning more retail-y stuff. And then I'm also at the Salesforce World Tour in London, where I'll be interviewing some people about some diversity stuff, so... Cool. No winding down for me.
It is winding down, I think, gradually.
Good for you.
And then we've got the summer.
Yeah. Glorious summer.
Well, there are very few conferences. One or two.
Yeah.
Then autumn.
Autumn is when it all starts again and we all get jet lagged and our health goes into a spiral of decay.
Then winter.
And then winter is coming. That's all we've got time for this week. Thank you for listening. Thank you to Claire and thank you to Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you.
And thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.